Happy New Year and welcome to Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. I'm Oliver Newman, part of the team, and as a special bonus, I'm going to be doing a Wrestle Kingdom 12 preview. So, I haven't watched Japanese wrestling, really, since the Wrestling Channel back in early 2000s. So between 2004 and 2006 was my time watching Japanese wrestling, and I saw Namuchi Marufuji, Kenta, who's Hideo Itami in WWE, Ricky Marvin, Kotaro Suzuki, Misawa, Kenta Kobashi, and the list goes on and on. Well, basically, because of Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega's building feud in New Japan, it kind of got me thinking, you know, maybe I need to have a look into the Japanese wrestling scene again. So I signed up for New Japan Pro Wrestling World ahead of Wrestle Kingdom 12. And you get a whole month for £6.87 here in the UK, which I think is a bargain. So I did that. And basically, I've gone on and watched the phenomenal AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the IWGP Intercontinental title from Wrestle Kingdom 10. And that was a fantastic match. And if a fellow member of BBGW Pod, Nick Davey, gets to see this match live for the WWE title at WrestleMania in New Orleans, as we are expecting will be the case, I'm going to be insanely jealous. After watching the Wrestle Kingdom 10 match, I decided to go to my Twitter and make it interactive, what I watched on NJPW World. And from then, my followers decided that with 43%, my next port of call was Wrestle Kingdom 11. So that's what I watched. And here's some of my thoughts on last year's Wrestle Kingdom. So Billy Gunn was in the pre-show rumble, which was a shocker. Jushin Thunder Liger, a Japanese legend with the iconic theme, was also in the rumble. I just wished he came down the ramp as opposed from the side of the arena, just to hear his entrance theme go longer, because it's amazing. The eliminations were by pinfall and over the top rope, which is unique in wrestling. And I was gutted when Liger was eliminated, but really happy when one of my Japanese favourite wrestlers, Yuji Nagata, entered the Rumble. He was eliminated the same way as Liger was, by basically people jumping on top of him and holding him down. Scott Norton of NWO fame enters the Rumble and hits one of those powerbombs, which looked brutal. Tenzan's in the Rumble. I remembered him from back in the day of TWC. So, that was the pre-show Rumble. And then going on to the actual show itself, it's the Battle of the Tiger Masks, as Tiger Mask W takes on Tiger the Dark. There were some breathtaking moments, but it left me a little underwhelmed, to be honest. WGP Junior Tag Titles between the Young Bucks and Roppongi Vice should have started the show. It was absolutely tremendous match and would have started the show in the best way possible. So that's the first booking decision I kind of took umbrage with. The IWGP Junior Tag Titles should have started the show. The next match was a four-way gauntlet match for the never open weight six-man tag team titles between Bushi, Evil, and Sanada against David Finlay, Ricochet, and Satoshi Kojima, a name I remembered from back in the day, versus Chaos, Jado, Will Ospreay, and Yoshihashi versus Bullet Club, Bad Luck Fale, Hangman Page, and Yujiro Takahashi. And my takeaways from this match was the women accompanying the Bullet Club to the ring certainly weren't PG. Will Ospreay is an unbelievable athlete, as is Ricochet. And like I said, Satoshi Kojima is a blast from the past of watching New Japan Pro Wrestling on the Wrestling Channel in 2004 to 2006. So that was good. The next match is Cody Rhodes, or just Cody, in his singles match debut against Juice Robinson of NXT fame. And props to Juice. I thought it was a heck of a performance and an equally good debut in New Japan Pro Wrestling for Cody. The next match after that is for the Ring of Honor World Championship, as Adam Cole takes on Kyle O'Reilly, two members of the NXT's Undisputed Era, collide for the ROH World title in Japan, baby. And the takeaway from this match is Adam Cole becomes the first ever three-time ROH World Champion. The following match is for the IWGP Tag Team titles. It's a three-way match between Chaos, Tomohiro Ishii, and Tuuro Yano defeat Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga, and Tanga Loa. And Great Bash heel Togi Makabe and Tamaaki Honma. And the takeaway from this match was, I'm not usually a fan of multi-man matches, but Yano and Ishii made this a fun watch. This brings us on to the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title match between Hiromu Takahashi and Kushida, and this was outstanding. If you want to see how junior heavyweight style is, and cruiserweight style is, you know, is perfected, it's happening in Japan. This match, two guys that I knew of, but haven't really seen them in action, tore the house down. It's an absolutely amazing match, and this is just the first one. The following match is for the NEVER Openweight title, and it's between Hirooki Goto and Katsuwori Shibata. And basically, this is Japanese fighting spirit at its very best. It's a sensational battle. Needs to be seen to be believed, really, but that's two in a row. Fantastic matches for those keeping count. Before you watch the next match between Tanahashi and Naito, it's probably in your best interest to watch a YouTube documentary called The Fall and Rise of Tetsuya Naito. That's very important watch, I think, before the following match. So the match is for the IWGP Intercontinental title, and it's Tetsuya Naito and he against Hiroshi Tanahashi, and that is an absolutely epic match. So you need to watch that one straight away. Atmosphere wise, it reminded me of the submission match between Bret the Hitman Hart and Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania 13. So yeah, that'll be interesting to watch for the people who are like the Japanese fans who are respectful, but they don't seem to react to things well. You watch that and you listen to the atmosphere, and it's pretty outstanding the way they react. And then last but no means least, for the IWGP Heavyweight title, Kazuchika Okada versus Kenny Omega. And this was the match that was given 6 stars by Dave Meltzer, and it's a it's a sensational match, super build. And the only thing I think is wrong with the match is Kenny Omega should have won, because it was an incredible performance by him. But it's one of these things, you just got to watch this match now. So for those keeping count, that's like, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 matches in a row that are as good as any wrestling anywhere in the world. And it really puts the Wrestle Kingdom 11 show over the top. It was fantastic. So my final Wrestle Kingdom 11 thoughts. The IWGP Junior Tag Titles was very good. Cody, Juice and Cole versus O'Reilly was good. Takahashi versus Kushida was outstanding. Goto versus Shibata was sensational. Tanahashi versus Naito was epic. And Omega versus Okada was incredible. Strong contender for show of the year 2017. And an absolute must watch if you're a fan of professional wrestling.
This is David Fuller, the owner of IHWE Texas Professional Wrestling. And you're listening to Broken But Glorious Podcast.
Hello again, everyone. It's Oliver Newman here, author of A Fan's Perspective. 2016, what a year to be a fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, one man's exploration of British wrestling. Forgot to mention that the first time round, so I'm just adding that in. And after getting you all caught up with Wrestle Kingdom 11, I'm going to do a preview of Wrestle Kingdom 12. I want to, at this point, thank Twitter and Jake's Bad Tweets. So that's twitter.com/Jake's Bad Tweets for his fantastic thread on the New Japan Pro Wrestling Wrestle Kingdom 12 preview, which I'm going to use heavily in this preview show. So the first match to talk about is the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Titles. And it's Roppongi 3K versus the Young Bucks. So to get you up to date with the backstory, Roppongi Vice beat the Young Bucks at Wrestle Kingdom 11 in a very good match at a G1 special in Long Beach, California. Rocky Romero and Trent Barretta officially disbanded the tag team Roppongi Vice shortly after losing the junior tag titles back to the Young Bucks. Rocky Romero debuted his new tag team of Sho and Yo as Roppongi 3K. They quickly became junior tag team champions by defeating Ricochet and Roisuke Taguchi in their first match under Rocky's management. The Young Bucks saw this, and it didn't take long before they sent out a challenge. The Young Bucks have held the titles 6 times, and this Roppongi 3K and the Young Bucks have fought in different matches, but this is the first true tag team match, and it'll be at Wrestle Kingdom 12. And yeah, you know, is it going to be Bucks or is it going to be Rocky Romero's tag team of Roppongi 3K who take the IWGP Junior Tag Team titles? That'll be one that should be really interesting. Next match is Cody versus Kota Ibushi. Cody, since he's joined New Japan Pro Wrestling, has kind of taken on the leadership role of the Bullet Club, which has, you know, brought the ire of Kenny Omega, who was the leader of the Bullet Club. The relationship between Kenny and Cody, which has now become Bullet Club and the Elite, is pretty tenuous. And Cody wants to take on Ibushi because for long-time Japanese wrestling fans, they know that Ibushi and Omega have been tag team partners. So, basically, Cody's taking on Ibushi to get back at Kenny. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Bullet Club and the Elite in this match and after this match. The next match is the NEVER Openweight Championship hair versus hair match, with Chaos and Suzuki Gun banned from ringside. The match is between Minoru Suzuki and Hirooki Goto. Goto has always been labelled as a wrestler who couldn't win the big one until he defeated Katsuri Shibata for the NEVER Openweight title at Wrestle Kingdom 11 in a sensational Japanese fighting spirit match. You've got to watch it. Brilliant. Suzuki took the title from him. And has held the title ever since. Chaos and Suzuki-gun banned from ringside, like I said. Who will win this match, especially with the hair versus hair stipulation? That makes things really interesting. The IWGP Junior Heavyweight title is going to be defending the Fatal 4-Way match between the villain, Marty Scurll, Aerial Assassin, Will Ospreay, Kushida, and Hiromu Takahashi. At Wrestle Kingdom 11, Takahashi defeated Kushida to become the Junior Heavyweight Champion in an outstanding match. He then defeated Kushida again under 5 minutes before losing the title back to Kushida at New Japan Pro Wrestling Dominion. Kushida didn't hold the belt for long, as he lost it to Will Ospreay in a major upset. Ospreay couldn't hold the title for long either, as he lost to the man that he's never been able to beat in the villain, Marty Scurll. So with three worthy challenges, Scurll has been forced into a rare occasion in New Japan Pro Wrestling, a Fatal 4-Way match. And that should be a fantastic match and has the ability to be a show stealer. This is the match that everyone's been talking about and is the reason why I signed up for New Japan Pro Wrestling World. The IWGP United States Championship match between Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho. Since becoming the first IWGP US champion, Kenny Omega has defended against up-and-coming stars like Juice Robinson and Trent Barretta in order to prove he has the best matches in New Japan Pro Wrestling, regardless of opponent. After spending 2017 coming up short, just short of the IWGP Championship in three stellar matches against Kushida, Okada, Omega wants to prove he's the best wrestler in the world. Chris Jericho took exception to this and wanted to prove, to show Omega that he isn't the greatest wrestler ever. So it's going to be Alpha versus Omega. Jericho's actually physically appeared in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and there's been a level of violence and animosity between the two that has been, very rarely seen in New Japan Pro Wrestling. There was actually blood spilled by Kenny Omega in the attack. A really interesting match on the card is the IWGP Intercontinental Championship match between Hiroshi Tanahashi and Switchblade Jay White. Jay White was one of New Japan Pro Wrestling's young boys. He went on an excursion around the world wrestling in different promotions and has come back as a new persona called Switchblade, targeting the IC champion and NJPW's ace, Hiroshi Tanahashi. Tanahashi was pivotal in keeping New Japan in business during a really down period in the early 2000s. He's adored by fans for his work ethic and dedication. Jay White is trying to usher a new guard in New Japan Pro Wrestling, so he's taking the opportunity to win the IC title from Hiroshi Tanahashi, as he'll be able to prove he's one of the top players in the company. Like I said, this is an incredibly interesting match because, Jay White is pretty unproven and Tanahashi is obviously the ace of New Japan. But if memory serves me correctly, he's on a bit of a losing streak. So, yeah, really interesting. And then the main event is for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, and it is Kushida Okada versus Tetsuya Naito. Over 500 days, Rainmaker Kushida Okada has held the IWGP title at Wrestle Kingdom 12 on Thursday. He defends the title against the man he won it from. The man is the leader of Los Ingobernables de Japan, Tetsuya Naito. Naito is the last man to hold the IWGP title before Okada, And after winning the G1 Climax 2017, he's earned another shot at the Rainmakers title. In 2013, as I talked about previously on the first part of this New Japan Pro Wrestling special, Naito was primed to become the next big thing in New Japan, but the fans rejected him by voting him out of the Wrestle Kingdom 8 main event. After this, Naito left on an excursion to Mexico. When Naito returned to Japan, he had formed Los Ingobernables and took on a new attitude of disgust towards New Japan and its fans. His main goal is to disrespect and dismantle everything the company holds dear. This has brought him to Okada and the IWGP title. If Naito wins, the company, especially Okada and Okada's manager and New Japan Pro Wrestling booker Jido, fears that Naito will decimate the belt itself. So the absolute key question as we head into the main event of Wrestle Kingdom 12 is, will Naito get his ultimate revenge on New Japan Pro Wrestling, or can Okada's incredible title reign continue? And I want to give a huge shout out and thanks to Jake's Bad Tweets of twitter.com/Jake's Bad Tweets for his incredible thread, which allowed me to put together this New Japan Pro Wrestling Wrestle Kingdom 12 preview. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it. And if you're in doubt, read Jake's Bad Tweets, Fred, and listen to this podcast. And then I implore you to sign up to New Japan Pro Wrestling World, which here in the UK is only £6.87 a month. And the value for money I've got over the last day and a half is incredible. And with Wrestle Kingdom 12 to come on Thursday morning at 7 a.m. here in the UK, it's definitely worthwhile to sign up, and I'm sure you'll enjoy the show. So yeah, this is Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. Team member here at Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast, signing off.